So here's a statistic that honestly, it keeps me up at night, and it should probably keep you up at night too.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this.
Depending on whose research you believe, and we've looked at a lot of it for this deep dive, somewhere between 50 and 70% of major change initiatives and organizations fail
They just crash and burn.
completely. And it's a staggering number when you think about the money involved.
Billions.
Exactly, billions. And when we do the postmortem, we always blame the strategy. We say, oh, the plan wasn't clear, or we didn't have the right talent.
It's the standard playbook, right? It's easier to blame the blueprint than to look at the builders.
Right. But the source material we're digging into today, which is really focused on the workplace of 2026, argues that we're looking in the wrong place entirely.
That we're missing something huge.
Yeah, that while we obsess over this idea of the heroic leader at the top, we're ignoring two massive resources already in the building.
And just to be clear, these aren't hidden resources you need a consultant to find. They are staring us in the face every single day.
We're talking about peer connection, the actual human network inside a company, and artificial intelligence.
Two things that usually live in very different departments. HR worries about peers. IT worries about AI.
And the story is usually that they're at war with each other. The robots are coming for our jobs.
But the core argument here is that the organizations that win in 2026 won't be the ones with the best AI or even the happiest culture. They'll be the ones that figure out the synergy between the two.
And that word synergy, it gets thrown around so much, it's almost meaningless.
Fair point. It's a buzzword. But here, the source uses it almost mathematically. It's not peer connection plus AI. It's peer connection multiplied by AI.
So it's about moving away from that heroic leader model and building a system where insight actually compounds.
Compounding insight. I like that. It's like financial advice, but for knowledge.
So that's our mission today, to figure out how that works in practice. Because on paper, combining human relationships with robots sounds a bit dystopian.
It is if you do it wrong. But if you do it right, it might be the only way to handle the speed of the modern world.
Okay, so let's start with the human side, because I think this is where the biggest surprise is. The source makes a pretty bold claim right away. It basically says the org chart is a lie.
A total fiction. It's a nice diagram of how we wish authority flowed. But the source uses network analysis to show that the real work happens laterally. It happens in what they call the shadow graph.
The shadow graph. Okay, that sounds a little ominous.
It does, right? Like something out of a spy novel.
Yeah.
But it's actually just the informal network.
Who you actually message on Slack when you're stuck.
Exactly. Who do you vent to? Who do you trust to give you the real story on the quarterly results? It's rarely your boss.
Like it's the person you used to work with 5 years ago in a totally different department.
That's the shadow graph. And for decades, companies tried to suppress it. They called it water cooler talk and saw it as wasted time. But the source argues that in a high complexity world, which is 2026, that network is actually a sense-making engine.
Sense making. That term comes up a lot. Can you break that down for us?
Sure. So imagine a huge crisis hits, a PR disaster, a competitor surprise launch.
Right.
In the old model, everyone freezes. They wait for the CEO's all hands email to tell them what to think. That's centralized sense making.
And it's slow, and the CEO is probably working with information that's already 3 days old.
Painfully slow.
Yeah.
Distributed sense making is when that peer network activates instantly. Did you see the news? Yeah, I think this hits our supply chain. No, I checked the data. It's a marketing issue. They build the reality together in real time.
So they're not just gossiping, they're actually processing information and forming a strategy before management has even booked a room.
Precisely. They shorten the feedback loops. A healthy shadow graph means the organization knows the truth instantly. A broken one means everyone's waiting to be told what the truth is.
And this gets to another key point about peers, right? That they're the real guardians of the culture.
Absolutely. You can put "We value integrity" on a poster, but if your peers make fun of compliance training,
You're going to ignore compliance. Social proof always wins.
every single time. The source says, "Culture is the behavior you tolerate, and your peers determine what's tolerated way faster than any manager can."
So let me play devil's advocate. If this lateral network is so powerful, why are we still so obsessed with the heroic leader? Why do we want that person on the hill giving orders?
I think it's comfort and history. For 100 years, that command and control model worked pretty well because the world moved slower. It was physically possible for one CEO to understand most parts of the business.
But not anymore.
Not even close. The sheer volume of information is impossible for one human brain to process. That's the heroic leader bottleneck. Funneling all decisions through one person doesn't create clarity, it creates a traffic jam.
And a single point of failure. If that leader burns out or just makes one bad call,
the whole system crumbles, whereas a strong peer network is resilient. It's like the internet. If one node goes down, the information just routes around it.
Okay, so that's resource one, the peer network, the shadow graph. Now let's bring in resource two, artificial intelligence. And just to remind everyone, we're talking in the context of 2026.
Right, so we're not talking about basic chatbots that make things up. We're looking at AI that can plan and execute multi-step tasks, access internal data, and actually reason through problems.
But the source seems very careful here. It isn't buying into the whole AI replaces everyone narrative.
No, and that's the key distinction. It focuses entirely on augmentation, not replacement. It argues that if you're just trying to use AI to cut headcount, you're missing the entire point of the technology.
So what's the real value then? If I'm not firing people, what is the AI actually doing?
The source lists four superpowers: pattern recognition, synthesis, simulation, and this one's huge, democratizing access.
Okay, democratizing access sounds like something from a corporate brochure. What does it actually mean for me at my desk?
It means the end of knowledge gatekeepers. You know how in most companies, if you want to understand the pricing model, you have to find Bob in finance.
Right. And if Bob's busy or on vacation, you're stuck.
Bob is a bottleneck, a huge one. AI uncorks that. If the AI is trained on all the company's data, you don't need Bob. You just ask the model and get the specialized knowledge instantly.
Which frees you up to do the actual work.
Correct. But here's the catch. This is where it gets really interesting. The source identifies what it calls the human gap. Things that AI, even in 2026, just can't do.
Let me guess. Empathy.
Empathy, yes, but more specifically, wisdom, alignment, and trust.
Let's stick on trust for a second. I mean, I trust my GPS. I trust my calculator. Why can't I trust an AI to give me a strategy?
Because organizational trust involves real risk. If an AI suggests a bold strategy, like abandon your core product, are you really going to bet your career on it?
Probably not.
You need a human being to look you in the eye and say, I've got your back on this. AI cannot provide psychological safety.
It can provide the data, but it can't provide the courage.
That's a perfect way to put it. And this leads to what the source calls the trap. Companies buy the best AI, they deploy it, and then nothing changes.
Because nobody actually trusts the output.
Exactly. It's like hiring a brilliant consultant who drops a 500-page winder on your desk and leaves.
Yeah.
You don't read it.
Yeah.
You don't implement it. There's no social context, no buy-in.
So AI without peers is just an expensive toy.
Yeah.
And peers without AI are, well, they're slow.
They're slow and they're biased. We humans are great at context, but we are terrible at seeing a subtle trend across 10 million data points.
Which brings us to the core of this deep dive, the synergy. How do you actually combine the shadow graph of peers with the superpowers of AI to get that compounding effect?
The source describes AI as a learning accelerator for the peer group. Think about your typical team meeting.
Oh, God. It's painful. It's just people reading their slides to each other.
45 minutes of reporting what happened last week and 15 minutes of rushed discussion where the loudest person wins.
I think we've all died a little inside during those meetings.
We have. No, imagine this instead. The AI does the synthesis before the meeting. It analyzes all the data sales, support tickets, project logs, and says, here are the three key anomalies from last week.
So the reporting part is done instantly. You're not spending the whole meeting just figuring out what happened.
Right. Now, the peer group can spend the full 60 minutes asking, why did this happen and what should we do about it? You move from what to so what immediately.
And does the AI stay involved in that discussion?
It does. That's where simulation comes in. A team member says, what if we lowered the price by 10%? The AI can run a simulation based on past data and say, that would likely erode margin by 4% without a significant boost in volume.
So it's a real-time reality check.
A reality check, yes.
Yeah.
But, and this is critical, the peers provide the ethics and the judgment. They might say, okay, the AI says cut this supplier to save money, but they've been a partner for 20 years, we're not doing it.
That's the human gap in action. The AI optimizes for pure efficiency, but the peers optimize for relationships and long-term health.
Exactly. And there's one concept here that I think is the most powerful idea in the entire source. It's called organizational memory.
The idea that companies basically have amnesia.
Constant amnesia. We solve a problem in 2024. The people who solved it leave or change roles. In 2027, the same problem comes back, and we start from scratch. It is so wasteful.
So how does this peer AI system fix that?
A peer group uses the AI to capture and synthesize lessons from every single project. Not just a folder of documents no one ever reads, but a living, searchable memory.
We tried this. It failed for these reasons. Don't do it again.
Right. The AI keeps the memory alive, and the peer group validates and applies it. So a new team isn't starting from zero. They're starting at step 10, standing on the shoulders of everyone who came before.
And that's the compounding insight. You stop solving the same problems over and over.
It fundamentally changes the trajectory of the company from flatlining efficiency to exponential learning.
But this requires a massive shift from leaders. If I'm a manager listening to this, I'm thinking, how do I control this? How do I make sure they're not just wasting time?
And that's the hard part. You don't. The source says leadership for the last 50 years has been about managing individuals.
The annual review. The scorecard. Did you hit your numbers?
Exactly. It's atomic.
Yeah.
But the new model is about managing the system. It's not, is Bob doing his job? It's, is the environment set up so that Bob and Sarah and the AI can connect effectively?
That feels really abstract. What do I actually do differently on Monday morning?
You start asking different questions. Instead of what's the status of this project, you ask, how does learning actually flow across my organization?
That's a hard question. Most leaders know how orders flow down, but not how learning flows sideways.
And that's why they fail.
Yeah.
The second question is, where are our peer dynamics broken? Where are the silos? Where's the toxicity that's blocking the shadow graph?
The third.
How can we use AI to reduce friction without undermining trust?
That one is critical, because it's easy to imagine a manager using AI to spy on the peer network, analyze the team chat, and tell me who's complaining.
And that is the absolute death of this system. The second you do that, psychological safety is gone. The peers go underground, they stop sharing, and the sense-making engine just shuts down.
So the AI must be a tool for the peers, not a weapon for the manager.
Perfectly said. The formula the source gives is that performance scales through connection, amplified by intelligence. If you try to scale it through control, you will fail. The world is just too complex for control to work anymore.
It's funny, we started this talking about technology, but this vision for 2026 feels almost more human.
It is. It's techno-optimism rooted in humanism.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that by offloading the number crunching and the admin work to AI, we free up humans to do the things only humans can do.
Judgment, creativity, connection.
We get to stop being bad robots and start being good humans.
Mm-hmm.
But it means leaders have to let go of their ego. You have to admit, you're not the smartest person in the room anymore. The smartest person in the room is the room itself, the network of people, augmented by the machine.
That is a scary thought for a lot of traditional bosses.
It's a terrifying leap. But the source suggests it's the only leap that lands you safely in the future.
So to recap, stop obsessing over the org chart. Start nurturing the lateral peer network. Stop seeing AI as a replacement. Start using it as a learning accelerator. And lead by designing systems, not by managing tasks.
Peers provide the trust. AI provides the speed. You need both to win.
Well, as we wrap up, I want to leave everyone with a final thought to chew on, pushing this a bit further. We've established that the heroic leader is obsolete because they're a bottleneck.
Right.
And that the future is about lateral connection powered by AI.
Yes.
So here's the provocation. If all that is true, is the traditional title of manager actually part of the problem? If your job is to manage, to control, to direct, are you, by definition, standing in the way of collective intelligence?
That is a radical thought.
Maybe. But if the goal is connection, maybe we don't need managers. Maybe we need network weavers or facilitators. Because if you're clutching onto authority in a world that runs on distributed trust, you might just be the thing holding your own team back.
If you aren't building the network, you're blocking it.
Exactly. Something to think about. That's all for this deep dive. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.